Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this Bible study series as we continue through the book of Colossians. Now we're going to pick up from verse 9, just after where we left off previously, and as always, I will read through, then we'll come back, we'll look at some notes, and I hope that you're taking notes as well as we go through. And just a side note, I thought as I was going through this, I remember someone had this beautiful system for taking notes. They would, you know, have their pen, have not just paper, but a notebook. Here in Australia, we have the notebooks, you know, sort of 24-page, 36-page, 64, and I think there's a 96-page, 128 for the really big ones. And depending on the book that they were reading, say here Colossians, they might go and purchase for themselves a notebook. And this is a short book here in the Bible, so maybe a 28-page sort of notebook. And all of their notes for Colossians would go into that particular notebook. If they were doing Romans, they would have the 96-page or the 128-page notebook and just take notes and, you know, sketch marks and drawings and annotations and put them all into one place. And it's a really good idea. I thought I'd just mention that. If you're not yet sure, maybe a good way to take your notes. Keep them all. Keep them all perhaps into, you know, one notebook, as we go through that. But let's read now, and then we'll come back, and we'll have a look at some thoughts. This is beautiful, this section of Scripture. I'm hoping that my love for this and what I have been able to grow and learn in the reading of this, I can also convey to you also. So verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes, "For this reason," and we'll come back to that in just one moment, "we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. And I wish I could keep going. Verses 15, 16, 17, 18. Oh boy, we're going to have to do them in a separate video. So I will stop there and we'll come back. We'll have a look. And as I said, please don't be afraid to take notes. And then as you take them, come back, have a refresh, have a recap and a relook at them again in sort of 2 to 3 days just to cement those thoughts, see what you've written. Pause if you need to whilst we're going through. And let's look for, there is tremendous blessing in this, in the understanding of this. That's what I'm praying for you today. So here we have Colossians 9, starting off, "For this reason." Now, before I begin, this is known as the prayer of Paul. And we see these different things, 4 key points, expressed throughout Scripture in many different places, but here we see them together in one place, which is why it's so beautiful. And he begins with, "For this reason," verse 9. So the question we have to ask is, what reason? Well, I'm hoping you've seen the previous videos and you've seen the reason that he's talking, because of this, now this, because of this, now that, and the reason which came before. He talks about the love for the saints, these people in Colossae. He talks about their faith. He talks about their hope. "And for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," because word was brought to him from Epaphras, "we do not cease to pray for you." And I have that underlined. I have that in bold in my notes. "Do not cease." And there's our first example, folks, of in what manner should we be praying? Without ceasing. Pray always without ceasing, Scripture tells us. And this means simply it is forefront in our minds, foremost before all things. But I want you to remember also here, Colossae. Paul had never visited there. We have sort of packed together from Scripture Epaphras, very likely discipled by Paul, and he's now pastoring at Colossae, and he is keeping Paul in touch with their growth, their faith, their love, their hope. And Paul is, because of this connection, deeply committed to their growth in the Lord. So there's something very profound that we can dig out from that right there. And that is our prayers, which should be without ceasing for those in our local church and or those with whom we are deeply committed with. So in our local church, we also have missionary outreach through funds that we're able to provide from time to time to a great church overseas. And I have met some of these people. I have met the pastors and the families there. And it's such a beautiful thing. We are connected with them. So my prayers not only should be for my family here at home, but my family here in church, my local church, but my family also in Christ in this extended outreach. And by, we're not capping, we're not limiting our prayers, but by sort of directing our purposeful prayer to just these different areas, we are able to have fervent, effective prayer without ceasing for these different peoples. And this is Paul's connection with them. But let's look now at what it is that he was actually praying for them, because this gives us direction. He says, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Here's the prayer point, the revealing, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So if you don't mind taking notes, put a little asterisk or a one next to this section of scripture. This is the first thing he is praying for, the knowledge of his, that's God's will, right there in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I'm just going to pause there for one moment. Question came to mind for me as I was reading this. Question for me also. How many of us pray for this? How many of us actually pray for this? I mean, do we pray for, you know, knowledge as it applies to what we want to do? Oh, I want to do this, Lord, please help guide me, give me direction. Yes, nothing wrong with that. But how about instead we pray for all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, until you can even grasp and understand that, you're not going to understand this. The fear of the Lord, reverent fear, as Jesus said himself best, do not fear man who can destroy the body, but rather fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We are told in Scripture to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, which is why when we see someone preaching from the platform or even here on a video on YouTube, wherever, whatever it may be, that we should take that message and we should be like the Bereans and we should take it home and we should look through the Scriptures ourselves and see what the Word says. Study and show ourselves worthy to seek that knowledge of the Lord, His wisdom. For the fear is God truly can destroy both body and soul in hell. We cannot rely on that man up the front or this man on a video. You are responsible alone for working out your salvation. Here we have in wisdom and understanding. So there's another question, actually. We praying for ourselves, sure. Do we also pray this for our family? Do I pray, Father, that my family, my wife, my children, husband perhaps, for the ladies listening, do I pray that they would have the knowledge of his will? Father, I pray they would have the knowledge of your will in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding. Do I pray that for my family? Do I pray that for the leaders in my church? I think we should. Wouldn't you agree? Do we? Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now here, it's so easy. I did it right then. I don't know if you picked it up. I did it intentionally. I skipped over an important connecting phrase, that you may walk worthy. Now we think, yes, walk worthy. We know this. But listen to them together, that you may be filled. There it is again. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. These connect together. This is deep. This is spirit-led knowledge that leads to walking worthy. This is the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom to walk it out. That's what this is. That you may. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that Paul sees it as I see it, and that is simply that the whole point of wisdom and spiritual understanding is so you can walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. There's no point otherwise increasing in the knowledge of God. And so as we pray for wisdom, got to ask the question again, how many of us even give thought to then this? We pray for wisdom, why? So we can make good decisions. No, we pray for wisdom so that we can walk worthy. Here's the thing, folks, make a good decision, make the right decision, make the wrong decision, does not matter if you are walking worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul pleads with them that they would walk in such manner, urging believers to walk in a manner worthy of being in Christ, one of Christ, a son or a daughter of the living God, emphasizing, he does there, that there is spiritual responsibility with that comes with the being called by God. There's a responsibility for this wisdom, for this knowledge, that you may walk worthy. Philippians 1 also calls us to let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Romans 12, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is, it says, is our reasonable service. Look at what he did for us. It is our reasonable service to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, that we should not, it continues on, to be conformed to this world. No, that is not what we are to do. We are to be set apart, just as the Old Testament example of the children of Israel being set apart. That was the whole point and purpose of so many different laws, rules, regulations, if we can say that, that they might be set apart. Yes, there were other reasons, but that one above all, they were God's chosen people. So are you. So am I. We too should be separate, set apart. The next part we see here, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power for all patience. We don't see these together too often in a sermon. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. So this third part of this prayer, jot a little down, should have had number two beforehand. Now we're on number three. It's for spiritual strength. And not just to do the great things we have, especially here in this Western world. And it frustrates me no end. Oh, I don't know what I'm called to do. What is my purpose? Just represent Christ here on earth. That's your purpose. If he calls you to more, you'll know it when it comes because of spiritual strength, wisdom, and understanding. That's why we go for those things first. That's why we pray for those things. And we see here, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. This is spiritual strength, not just to do great things, but to endure trials with patience, long-suffering, and joy. Seriously, if you've been through and you've heard my exposition on James chapter 1, oh my goodness, long-suffering, patience, joy, that we might be complete and what? Lacking in nothing spiritually. Guys, if I could just get you, please, to take your focus off the vertical the earthly things and look, sorry, off the horizontal, I should say, and look at the vertical, the heavenly things. Get your eyes off the things of this world. Look at the things of Christ and of God in the spiritual realm. This is what we're talking about here. And we see in this need that we have, that he is praying for them, that it might be fulfilled. And the need that we have is for inner resilience, especially under persecution, or especially under pressure. When the things of this world come against us, the things of the horizontal, the earthly things, we need spiritual strength, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding to walk through the trial with long-suffering in joy. And it's not something, well, at least from where I sit in my local church, it's not something that we talk about too often, long-suffering and enjoy working, walking worthy of our calling. These things don't seem to go together, and that's the reason why I'm emphasizing them here, because it's important. It was so important that of four things that Paul could write to those in Colossae, these are the things I pray for you most. This is one of them. And then lastly, number four, this is what it all comes down to. I love this. Giving thanks. Giving thanks with joy for what? For our salvation. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He did it. He did the work. He qualified us. Our faith in Christ is what makes it possible to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom, and I just love these words, in whom we have redemption. We have been redeemed back to the Father through the price, through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins. That was the point of the cross, and as I record this right here, right now, we've just gone past the Easter Resurrection Sunday. That was the whole point of it, that Christ would become for us a sacrifice for the remission of sins, just as it was in the Old Testament, but now him, that we could be redeemed, purchased by his blood. And because of that blood, just like in the Passover with the blood of the Lamb, we are now forgiven. And the judgment, the wrath of God put against Christ on that cross passes over us because of our faith in him. This is entirely on the vertical, heavenly things, not earthly, not at all, nothing you can do for it. He has done it all. All you have to do is have faith and believe. And this fourth part, this fourth prayer part, it is for a heart full of thankfulness, especially for that which God has already done. This is what we might call the attitude of gratitude. And I mean, you know, but we talk about this kind of thing a lot. But again, I think we often talk about it, the attitude of gratitude, with misunderstanding. We don't quite get it. It's not just about these physical things. And I think of an example that comes to mind where I in a small group setting, someone, you know, the pastor who was managing this small group, asking, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And going around the group, what are you thankful for? And someone in this group just said, Jesus. Now I hear that and I understand that to go, yes, what he did on that cross. Oh my goodness, he stepped out of heaven, he stepped out of eternity, became humble, became a man, submitted himself to his own creation to be beaten, to be bruised, to be battered, to be have the skin torn off him through the stripes that were there for our healing and for our salvation, then on the cross, nailed there, that wrath, as I mentioned, of God coming upon him, that it should pass over us, and that he took our place for the punishment of our sin, as our sin was placed upon him, and his righteousness then imputed unto us through faith. What are you thankful for? Jesus. And because others in this group, this small group circle that I mentioned, I'm thankful that he's given me a place to live. I'm thankful for the food that we have. I'm thankful he helped me get a job. And yes, we should be thankful for these things. But the name, Jesus, was not enough. Oh, come on, others have done these other things. You can do better than that. What? No. No. I say it again. No. What are you thankful for? I am thankful for Jesus, my everything. You can't do better than that. And we see here in these last couple of verses, this section we're looking at today, because of Jesus. And it began, remember, giving thanks. Because of Jesus, he has qualified us for eternal life. Maybe jot these in that margin. He has delivered us, or underline them even, in the scripture right there. He has delivered us from darkness. He has transferred us into Christ's kingdom and redeemed us and forgiven our sins. And I ask the question yet again, how often do we stop and think about that? Oh, glory be to God. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Let me read from Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, verse 2. O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Bless the Lord, folks. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. God Almighty. Come on. This is what we need to be not just being thankful for, but praying for others that they might be thankful. And so what we see here as we summarize these beautiful four prayer requests, these are the things that we see that truly matter in the life of a believer. And it's not flashy gifts. It's not worldly success. It's not what we see out there at the window. But it's a deepening knowledge of God. It's a life that honors him. It's a life that has inner strength and endures what the world might bring, but with joy because of him. And it's a heart that overflows with thankfulness because of what he has already done. Do you hear me on this? And I wonder, the Holy Spirit most certainly knew, and maybe it was also in this particular time. But I think this world, particularly for us here, Western civilization, Western world, we too often prioritize comfort over character, feelings over faith. Wrong, folks. But Paul draws us back to these essentials: knowing God, walking with God, suffering with God patiently, and more importantly, being thankful to God. We see the pattern over and over again. We don't need to look for things to be thankful for, to be grateful for, not just in the physical but eternal. Look at what he has already done by the work of the cross. Qualified us, rescued us, transferred us, redeemed us, forgiven us. And so, yes, we absolutely can say, as we saw in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I pray that this would be our response, not just on our lips, but in our lives. And I think wrapping up, actually, let me pray. Let's close in prayer. And if you would, folks, as we close in prayer, just give thought to this and thanks to God for this. Heavenly Father, praise God. We come before you, Lord, with a humble heart, grateful for the truth of your word, the example here of Paul's prayer. Lord, we ask. We ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all our spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we might walk worthy of you, fully pleasing, fully devoted, fully yours. Help us, Father, to bear good fruit in every good work, to grow continually in our knowledge of who you are. Strengthen us, Lord, with your glorious power. Not for our own greatness, Father, I pray, but that we may endure with patience and stand firm in suffering, and to do so with the joy that can only be from you and that cannot be taken away. Father, I pray that we may thank you with our whole hearts for qualifying us to take a share in the inheritance of the saints, for delivering us from the darkness that once held us, for transferring us into the kingdom of your Son, into that light. Father, we thank you for redemption through his, Jesus' blood, and for the full forgiveness of our sins. Father, I pray that we might never, ever, ever, ever take these things for granted. Teach us, Lord, to live daily with heavenly gratitude, not just for what we see, not just for what we can touch, but for you and all that you have done in Christ. May our lives then reflect your goodness, Father, I pray. May our hearts never cease to bless your holy name. In Jesus' beautiful, precious, powerful name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless, folks. Talk soon. Bye-bye.